Now. Real people, real opinions. Nighttime Talk with Niall Boylan.
Ireland's classic hits radio.
All right, welcome back. From Germany, well, living in Germany at the moment, my guest tonight is Dr. Owen Lenehan, who is an independent journalist and researcher. And he's going to talk to us tonight, well, a little bit about everything. We're going to talk about politics, the birth rate, the demograph, the protests, the famous right wing, etc., etc. And he joins me. Owen, hi, how are you?
Oh my gosh, I hope I have something intelligent to say about all of that.
I think you have, Owen. We've spoken many times in the past, and I have to say it's been a pleasure talking to you on numerous occasions. Let's start.
Well, we haven't run out of things to talk about yet.
Let's talk about politics first, right? The election this year, I put up a tweet going back about a week and a half ago, just after, or a week ago, should I say, after the results came out. And I said, I believe the Irish electorate have Stockholm syndrome. Here we are essentially with the same government back again, probably with a few independents joined together in some sort of technical group joining Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael. When 71% of the population, according to a poll, an Ipsos poll, only, 7 weeks ago, said they wanted change and radical change. And yet here we are with no change. Why do you think that happens? Or why is that happening?
Well, I think the Irish are in general quite conservative. And I don't mean that like ideologically. I mean that just in terms of how we vote and our voting patterns. I mean, I might as well be saying water is wet there. But if you look, we're unusually so compared to other European nations. If you look at the demographics of it, the plus 65 demographic is where the base for Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael is. I mean, there was some terrific viral videos going around social media and things showing some of the voters who are so proud to go down and cast their vote for Fianna Fáil or Fine Gael. And I always voted Fianna Fáil and I always will vote Fianna Fáil. Like, you're talking to a certain slice of the electorate there which will never have their mind changed. So you just have to accept that there is a block there of Fianna Fáil and Fianna Gael voters that you just can't get around.
Mind you, it is changing somewhat, because if we go back 30 years ago, they would have had 60% of the vote. Now they're down to about 20%. So it is changing somewhat, is it? But slowly.
That's true. Well, I think there's a couple of issues here that back then in the olden days, it used to be like that.
A majority government, yeah.
Yeah, if Fianna Fáil made a hash of things, well, they'd punish them by letting them sit out one election and voting in Fine Gael, and then vice versa. That was always the game there too. What's happened is, and you're right, of course, is that they've both dropped overall in terms of popularity. But all that's happened is Sinn Féin have joined the dance. And, whenever you want to punish, now there's an extra option. But the reality is they always come home. They always come back around.
Why are we not seeing traction of smaller parties, say like Aintu, Independent Ireland, the Irish Freedom Party? There are many different parties out there with a little bit extra to offer, different things to offer. Probably some would refer them to as right wing or right of centre. Why are we not seeing them growing quicker? They've been around for a while. Well, Independent Ireland's only around for a year, but Aintu certainly have been around for a while. They got one extra seat just about. Why are we not seeing those parties growing quicker when there is certainly an appetite for something more conservative? So why are we not seeing that growing?
Personally, from my opinion is, and from what my research and my writing, in the course of my writing is what the biggest factor to me, the standout factor is the media. Ireland's incredibly unique with the stranglehold the national media has over the electorate. If it doesn't go through RTE, it doesn't exist. If it doesn't go through the national media, it doesn't exist. And again, there's big questions about how impartial these institutions are. I know you've covered it before. I'm probably just repeating here, but we know that RTE recently bailed out for 750 million. We know that VAT and print newspapers dropped down to nothing. That the line between the media and government has never been so blurred, and that, of course, is a major threat to democracy in itself. So the other thing, and you pointed on it there in the question as well, when you mentioned far right, that's a new buzzword that's really come into fashion in the media and in the political class in the past year in particular. But they've been very successful at pointing to any new party springing up. So Independent Ireland, A&2, and anyone else outside of that, independent or nationalist parties, and just vaguely referring to them as far right.
Mm.
And that's a wonderful...
It's kind of like a shut-up word, really, isn't it?
Well, precisely. It's a great way to cut any political development down at the knees.
Mm. And where do you see us now? With obviously the government will be formed most likely in the next couple of weeks. Maybe not, maybe January. Predictably, probably going to be Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael, and a technical group of independents, it looks like at this stage. So where do you see us in the next 5 years? Is it going to be more of the last 5 years? A disastrous housing problem, immigration out of control. Is that all going to continue, do you think? Or do you think the government might have learned something for a little bit of a kick they got in the bottom during the elections where they all lost a little bit?
Right, exactly. The devil's in the detail here. Let's look at the positives, right? Greens were absolutely obliterated. And the Greens were the driving force of much of the madness there. For example, you'll have heard of the National Action Plan Against Racism. It sounds wonderful on the surface, but if you dig into it, it's just essentially a money laundering racket for the NGOs. That it grants huge powers to NGOs, gives them almost parity of power along institutions like the police and local politics to report back any cases of discrimination they come across. Big funding for that. The person who was overseen to put that into power, who got a stipend of 100,000 and some worker bees to help her, Ebon Joseph, highly controversial character, extremely into critical race theory and this very...
Yeah, I think we've spoken about Ebon before, you know, but... So your argument is that the people responsible for that, obviously, were the Green Party.
Yes. We know that. Like, that is a matter of fact. Joe Bryan was the minister who oversaw that, who put her in power and who handed out the funds.
So are we going to see a reduction then in the 7 million that we spend on NGOs? Don't get me wrong. Many of the NGOs do some great work, by the way. So when people say get rid of the 7 million, some of those NGOs do great work, but some of them are just basically money spinners.
Absolutely. So look, that's a positive. Let's not diminish that. Another positive, I know it sounds like I'm splitting hairs here when we're looking at the bigger picture, but Fianna Fáil were the big winners. They got 10 seats more than Fine Gael. So it's not the same balance of power going in this time. In that, if you think about who are the most divisive, I would say that the most divisive politician in the country, without a shadow of a doubt, was Helen McEntee as Minister for Justice. Now, Fianna Fáil, who expressed a desire to get justice before the election, they're in a real position of power to take that from them.
But also, does it surprise you that some of those got re-elected again? I mean, I only ever heard people, well, maybe it's a bit of an echo chamber online, generally speaking, people giving out about the job that Helen McEntee is doing. Not only that, the Garda themselves, members of the Garda Síochána are not having faith in Drew Harris and she backing Drew Harris. Roderick O'Gorman has been criticised, and rightly so, for the job that he's done in relation to immigration, because there's nobody sane in this country that can say we're doing a good job dealing with immigration. And yet he was still in a job and yet gets the only member of the Green Party who gets re-elected again. Obviously, Stephen Donnelly didn't because of the children's hospital mess, most likely.
That was a big one, yeah.
Yeah, okay. But a lot of these people who we gave out about for 5 years got re-elected.
Again, you're dealing though with... you can't underestimate the power of the media, but also the Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael grassroots party machine getting out there on doors. If we take one example of... if you were trying to break into politics and you were to pick and just, you know, mould the optimal candidate, right? Take Elaine Mullally, who went in Laois, for example. She was absolutely top, you know? She had everything going for her. She was rooted in her community. She was extremely, you know, she's extremely articulate, intelligent, accomplished. She's got a successful business in the area. She put big money into her campaign. She had excellent online...
I've seen some of her videos. Campaign. Yeah, they were great. Yeah.
And nothing came of that. And that shows you just how difficult it is with our electoral system.
Well, I know, sure, I went through the electoral system, didn't I? For the European election. I'm well aware how difficult it can be. Mind you, I didn't do too bad. I got locked out just in the last count, so I nearly made it.
I'm explaining to the people at home, of course.
Of course. Moving on from that, we were talking about the far right there a few minutes ago, which is the kind of buzzword of the last, certainly the last 3 years in particular, when we've seen such a rise in both the Ukrainian refugees coming to Ireland and also people coming, you know, through the IPAS system as well. Protests, I have never seen in all my lifetime as many protests as I've seen over the last 18 months to 2 years. They kicked off again today in Athlone in relation to an IPAS centre, which is predicted that thousands of refugees will be put into. Again, with no communication with the local communities. Where do you see that going over the next 5 years? You know, they say they want to fix it. They say they want to put it right. But yet the same people seem to be in charge So how are they going to put it right? And what do you think the solution to that is? Because you're quite critical online of how the government are dealing with refugees. Of course, we heard the news today that Syrian refugees are now being refused from countries around the world because of what's happened in Syria. But how do you think we should deal with the refugee crisis that we have here in Ireland, the chaos?
Well, I am extremely critical about this because I am extremely democratically minded, and my understanding of democracy tells me that this government is directly challenging people to go outside of the law. And why? Because if you come in and you drop in the middle of the night up to 1,000, and we now know that they are unvetted males, into communities, well, with no veto, no consultation, you give people no legal or democratic way to combat that. Well, what happens? You push people's backs to a wall, and that is incredibly dangerous. And so I would say this past government has been the most dangerous government in my lifetime because of what they've done. And we've seen it. We've seen Coolock up in blaze so many times at Crown Paints. We've seen other sites in Galway.
And not that anybody should be condoning any kind of criminality, by the way.
No, this is just cause and effect. This has nothing to do with condoning. It's just cause and effect. You see, what's happened there is that we have a... And this is why I'm happy to see... Helen McEntee step back and Simon Harris's Taoiseach, as Taoiseach, because they are extremely authoritarian, more so I would say than Fianna Fáil. I know we're splitting hairs here, but it's noticeable in the Fine Gael policy just how authoritarian they are in regards to this particular issue.
Not just that issue, they've been quite authoritarian when it came to the hate speech laws as well.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And I'll come to that in a few minutes as well. But in relation to the next 5 years, the prediction is it could be, 25,000 to 30,000 people per year. That was one of the figures Roger Gorman threw out some time ago, over the next 5 years.
Well, there is no, it's just not sustainable. And they're already under legal pressure. There in August, the High Court had said that they were found liable, that they had to provide basic...
accommodation, shelter.
Accommodation, shelter for people. And they just can't. They can't do it. It isn't there, nor can they work fast enough to provide it. So there's a number of problems, structural problems there. And this is where I'm not so optimistic, as I think it sounds you aren't, is that aside from getting the Greens out, and we can think of Gorman's, famous eight language tweet he sent around the world, which basically said, hey, come on in, Ireland's open for business for anyone who wanted to kind of...
Your front door key within 6 weeks or whatever it was. Yeah, yeah.
But the bigger problem is that it's the setup of the economy. Ireland's economy, which now and has for over a decade, is completely dependent on foreign direct investment. What it's doing is we're recruiting and hiring in increasing numbers from overseas, particularly for tech jobs, particularly in India, for medical and tech jobs. There's a census going out to the whole world, which is Ireland is open for business. And that's great. People can say what they want, legal or illegal or different things. But it does signal that Ireland is wide open for business and Ireland's a rich country. If you look back through the data, in the early 1990s, Ireland had less than a handful of asylum claims in the early years of 1990s. Nobody wanted to come to Ireland. When did people start coming to Ireland? When the Celtic Tiger kicked in. Then between 2004 and 2012, the numbers went through the roof. They went into the...
Yeah, but was that way? I understand what you're saying in relation directly to Ireland, but there was the world was on the incline at that particular time, and people started the movement of people. That's when we kind of first saw the movement of people. Now, mind you, they were reasonably liberal numbers. We were looking at maybe 2,000 or 3,000 per year. Now, direct provision went under a bit of pressure back in the kind of 2014, 2015, but nothing along the lines of what's happening now.
No, but the point is that we can see a direct correlation between Ireland's peak years, because those numbers of asylum did drop off, importantly, after the crash years.
Yeah, but so I'm assuming, Owen, you don't have an objection to people coming here legitimately, say, for example, because if we didn't have, and this is where our government constantly combined the two to make everybody sound like they're racists. If we didn't have people, in the healthcare sector, the entertainment sector, the hospitality sector, and all those other sectors where people are working from countries all over the world, our economy would be doomed.
Well, I'm living here in Germany, so I have a snapshot of what it's going to look like in 10 years. And I can tell you, when we see the rise of the AFD here, the most popular
party. I know there was a big protest there today. That's how they thanked the government. Yeah, I saw that, that tweet you put up. Yeah.
I can tell you that legal or illegal, when people feel a pressure such that they feel their culture is in danger, or they feel that the balance of the country they knew isn't quite the country they're in now isn't the country they grew up in, that's going to lead to a breakdown of social cohesion. So even if it is legal, you have if it's overwhelming numbers, it's a problem. And we are at that point, because right now, if we look through the visa application numbers for our big earning jobs, for the likes of tech jobs for Apple, Amazon, and so on, these are overwhelmingly now being sourced overseas, and overwhelmingly from India. And so the point is, then you have to ask yourself, how does our economy work if it's dependent completely on foreign direct investment, American companies coming to Ireland to hire people from overseas to come to Ireland? What is Ireland? Is Ireland a packing station? Is Ireland an economy, or is Ireland a culture? Is Ireland a nation? And that's what a lot of people are asking now. But if they ask that question, they are they're being called racist and whatnot. Now, the problem is, see, it was legitimate to, and I do think there's a bit of distraction amongst the political class and the media class at the moment, trying to mix these two things, or push the illegal issue to the front. The reality is, we're past that point, because if you look at Ireland in 2004, there was 4 million people. Now there's over 5 million people. Overwhelmingly, that was from outsiders. We're over 22% non-national born. That's in the space of, 20 years?
And considering our own birth rate has dropped below replacement level, well below replacement level, it is unusual. Yeah.
Europe has ever experienced anything like this. So there are lists.
Okay. I tell you what I got to do. I have to take a break, Owen, right? But I want to come back to you after the break. I tell you what, we will move on to population replacement. And sure. Well, not population replacement as such, but the birth rate in Ireland and why it's drastically dropped. Stay there, if you can, Dr. Owen Linehan. A lot of people, by the way, texting in relation to the points that Owen has made. Yeah, the whole vetting system is rigged to somebody else. Somebody else, Niall, I agree with everything Owen says. Another person says, Niall, really interesting conversation. I'm glad you're having it, because very few radio stations will have this type of conversation. Yeah, I think it's kind of like, we're not allowed, are we? Anyway, the number is 087-188-0000. I'm talking to independent journalist and researcher and political, has a political view, Dr. Owen Linehan, who's now based in Germany. And we started off by talking about politics, and of course we got to the famous right wing. And now I want to talk about the birth rate. Owen, the argument is we're not promoting the family anymore, which was very traditionally Irish, to promote the family in this country. We don't promote it. We've promoted this culture where two parents are working, and even with two parents working, the income doesn't provide a home, or can't provide a home, because of the cost of living. Whereas if you go back 30 years ago, one income into a house could provide a home. That's an impossibility nowadays, unless you're Rothschild. So what's happening? And how can we fix it?
We've got a couple of things going on there. One is a cultural and the other one is economic. The economic one is quite obvious and easy. As you said, there's a housing crisis, which has been exacerbated by mass migration. And so that's driving up house prices. What we have is, I believe the figures are something insane. I don't want to send your listeners wrong here, but I believe it's 60% of working 40-year-olds and under are still living at home with their parents. Now, how can you go out and have a normal social life that maybe you and I had when you're living at home like that until you're in your late 30s, into your 40s. I mean, that's an obvious one. You know, it's very difficult to start a family because you don't just even grow up. You know, you don't have that normal get out of the house young, stand on your own 2 feet and meet a nice girl, bring her home, whatever it is. You know, that's missing. That's a fundamental normal developmental block that young people don't get to experience anymore. And that's sad. But then we also have a certain cultural attitude that's brought in. We saw through the, the abortion referendum or whatnot, which was brought in enthusiastically. I don't want anyone to think I'm in any way religious about this. You know, for me, it's just very practical. I see Ireland as always having a little bit of a chip on their shoulder, that we think that we're behind the rest of the world. And so in order to be modern, we have to do X, Y, and Z. And that's why, you know, again, things like abortion have passed so easily and so enthusiastically. We feel like we're thoroughly modern.
Well, we want to be the good boys and girls of Europe, is it? We want to be the most progressive in Europe, the most liberal in Europe. We want to be the best.
Right. And that still has a huge effect, too. I mean, I believe the number is 10,000 abortions
per year.
Per year,
yeah.
Like that. astonished me. I never thought that the Irish had this lust for...
if you want to look at it, that's 50,000 less children that would have been born since the referendum, essentially.
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course. And so that, to me, look, again, leave out any religious angle at it. Look at it strictly from a demographics or a social angle, and that is devastating for a small island.
And the other thing as well is women are now waiting longer to have the first child. So if we go back 40 years ago, women were having the first child just after they got married, probably around 21, 22 years of age. Now women are having their first child at 32 years of age, an extra 10 years, which is leaving less room to have larger families.
Well, if you look at that, the two referenda that happened earlier this year about removing that passage about the woman and the home, that was hugely significant win. It was massive because now it was portrayed really nastily in the press, and you know it's oppressing women or what. When that is actually the exact opposite. That was written at a time when Ireland was going through a very idealistic phase. After it's very easy bash De Valera's Ireland and all that, of course, but. It was a very innocent time, and they had the roles were very different. The woman was the boss of the house. The man went out to the field. He did his job. She did her job. Roles were very demarcated and equally respected. That's how it was at that point. But people now, because again, we're desperate to be modern and catch up and be like the rest of the world. You know, we
accuse all men of being misogynistic and governments of being misogynistic. Yeah, which isn't the case at all.
Well, what's happened is they've allowed the government off the hook and to stop providing the conditions by which a woman can stay at home, or a man if he chooses. They have now taken it out of the possibility of your average family to have a home and one job. So that's what happens now is that you've got how many people, I don't have the data to hand, but I would love to see how many couples are now using an entire salary for a mortgage. And then the rest out of the other.
You know, the economic rule years ago was it would be 30% of one salary on your accommodation. Right. Any more than that, and you were in trouble, right? I would absolutely agree with you. I would say two people are working now as a couple, and I'd say one whole salary is probably going to a mortgage or accommodation, which is shocking.
I believe it. I don't have, like I said, I don't have the data to hand, but I think it's...
Okay, the final one is CSO released some figures there going back about 2 months ago in relation to the demographic change of the country based on projections by, I think it was 2059. And they talked about, obviously, the fact that you mentioned a few minutes ago that 20% of the population currently are not Irish born. Does it concern you, or do you think that's scaremongering, suggesting that indigenous Irish people will become a minority in their own country? I hear some people saying that. They call it population replacement. Is that just some sort of conspiracy? Does it concern you, or does the data back that up?
There was reports in the Irish Times going back to around 2000, Celtic Tiger Times, which stated that by 2050, the Irish should be a minority in their own in Ireland. So, you know, this isn't a conspiracy theory. This has been openly stated at various points by reputable, if you want to say, sources.
Have to ask the question, though, and then what do we constitute as being Irish? Does Irish mean that you've great grandfather lived here, or what? You know, you know what I mean. You gotta get into that argument, then, don't you? If somebody comes here from, I don't know, Zambia. And they've been living here, and now their children are born, and they all have Irish passports now because they've got citizenship and naturalisation. Are they now Irish?
Give me just 1 minute to tease this out, because I think this is a very, very important point. Look, that one thing that the way it is in the newspaper is, if you any of the national media and the political class at the moment, is that as soon as you touch Irish soil, or Irish as you or I, okay? That's just magical thinking. It doesn't happen. I'm sorry, I live in Germany. If I go out and tell, I've been here a while, if I go out tomorrow and tell my neighbour that I'm German now as he is, he'll laugh in my face, and he will be right to laugh in my face. But that's been normalised in Ireland, that you have people who are coming, again, speaking of Ebon Joseph, I see her, how she talks about our people, and I'm sorry, but that grates on a lot of people. You know, that's dishonest. People don't buy that. So there's a couple of different ways to look at it. And again, there's international precedents. You can pick them.
Okay, I've only got a minute and a half. Let me get back to the original question about the demograph. Do you think that will be the case in the future? I don't know, 2059 or 2080, I don't know. The CSO have different results for different types of projections. But do you think that the indigenous Irish, if you want to use that word, will be a minority in their own country?
Yes. No question. And especially if it's the, if we continue on the path we're on with the hyper-juiced FDI economy, yes, and it'll happen before then. We'll be a minority by the 2050s and it'll be it'll continue at speed. I think anyone who's right-minded will say that having one parent Irish makes you Irish. There, to answer your last question.
Okay.
Put me on the spot, so I'm going to race through them.
Okay. Listen, Owen, thank you very much indeed. I appreciate you joining us. A very interesting conversation. I'm sure we'll have a chat again. Thank you very much indeed, Dr. Owen Linehan. He's in Germany, and he is a journalist and researcher, independent journalist and researcher.
Now, real people, real opinions. Nighttime Talk with Niall Boylan.
Ireland's classic hits radio.